To, there we go. Well, you know, we'll get it right after a fashion. Oh my goodness. Hi there. Let me turn this down a little bit. Everything has to be plugged in properly. Everything has to be turned on properly. And then you're able to get the audio working correctly. Hi there. This is North Shore Sports Night. As you might guess, we've been off for a while. A little rusty, to say the least. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. The voice of the North Shore Sports, of course, Bill Newell, all kinds of stuff up on the website, interviews that Bill has done today. Tim Kern's off tonight, and we want to congratulate Tim on several things. He'll be winning an award that will be announced this week by the Aganis Committee. Aganis Classic Week is next week, and I guess that'll be announced next week, starting on Sunday with the award ceremony. And we're planning to broadcast football next week. A week from Thursday will be the Aganis Football Classic, and of course we'll be covering other events as well. And of course, Gary Larrabee usually with us, not available tonight, but Gary, the liaison for the U.S. Senior Open, which will be starting next week as well. This week it's Fiesta Week, as high school sports have ended. The MIAA championships are all over. We want to say congratulations to all those who did so well, particularly here on the North Shore. And of course to Glenn Foster and the Ipswich Tigers, D3 state champions in boys lacrosse. Just a great job. And Bill has up all the information up there, and an interview with Coach Foster and some of the kids, too. So let's see here. Tonight, let me just check the time here and make sure we're on. All right, we are. Tonight we'll be talking with Steve Krause, the sports editor of the Daily Item, and also to Nick Kukru, the sports editor of the Gloucester Times, and sort of get a fix on what's been happening, what is upcoming, because those are the two big the big events locally in terms of sporting events involving kids and non-professional athletes, adults as well. And we're also going to check in with Bob Boyce in just a minute or two. Coach Boyce, assistant baseball coach at Danvers High School. We went down to Brockton to do the D2 state championship game this week. And a tough outcome for Danvers, but man, are they good. They're good year in and year out, and they are to be celebrated. And I know that there are kids looking at the Danvers High School team right now saying, man, I can't wait to get there. So all that's upcoming. We'll also take a look at some stuff on the website. Bill's got a couple of news stories up there with interviews that should be of interest to you. Certainly the Lynn Classical, check out the Lynn English Athletic Director, Dick Newton, talks about stuff going on at Lynn English High School and what's going on this summer. Also, former Saugus High School football coach Mike Broderick will be talking with Bill Newell. He's headed to Curry College to coach there. So plenty to talk about in terms of sports. If you'd like to let us know what's going on, if you get some compliments or complaints or suggestions, go ahead and email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com, and we'll take a look at that. So we'll be back in just a minute with our first interview of the evening. Stay with us.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Bob Boyce is our guest now. He's the assistant baseball coach at Danvers High School. Hi, Coach. How you doing?
I am very well. How about yourself?
Oh, I love it. Finally feels like baseball weather, man. I love the muggies.
Absolutely. We'll take this all day, every day.
You know it. You know it. So what's your involvement right now? When I emailed you, you said you're getting ready for a game tonight. So what's going on?
Yeah. With Danvers Legion's going to play over in Beverly tonight at 7:30. No rest for the weary. We lost on, Wednesday, Thursday last week. Played on Friday.
Yep.
No rest for the weary. Right back at it.
So are you coaching?
Yes, sir.
Are a lot of these kids are they involved in high school athletics as well, or will they be involved?
I got a good mixture of kids that play at St. John's and about seven of our guys.
All right, that's cool. So, all right,
it's a pretty good team.
Let's look back if we could, Bob, because let's start at the latest, and we'll go back a little bit before that. But Bill and I and Marty Smith were at the game the other day down in Brockton. And first of all, I'd never been down there. Such a nice facility. How was the field to play on for the kids?
Just like our field, hard as a rock, very fast, and that's why we thought we'd have an advantage based on we've played on those type of fields all year. But it was very well maintained, really nice place to play, other than the 2-hour drive to get there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, they were watering down the field constantly before the game. I saw that, like three or four times to try to get some of that softened up a little bit, but it didn't seem to work.
Nope. So, what are you going to do?
Well, listen, no, but here's the thing. It looked like Danvers was going to play Danvers baseball, and they didn't have a typical game. Your guys didn't. However, to the credit of Greater New Bedford, they were both patient and aggressive. Does that make sense at the plate?
Absolutely correct. They didn't swing at pitches that weren't strikes, and when they did swing, and we knew they could do this, they could hit the crud out of it.
Yeah.
They were very impressive offensively, and they were disciplined, very disciplined.
Yeah, they were, and as I said, they were aggressive, and they just took advantage of everything. Now let's look at your guys. What is it? 3 years in a row now, runners up as state champions. I know that's disappointing, but damn! I mean, most kids would give anything they could in their high school careers to get in there once. And Danvers has this legacy of going to state championships.
Well, it's just, like we told the kids, it's so hard to get there. Mm-hmm. You have to have so many breaks, and you have to play so well for so long. And hey, I don't mind. I don't like to lose, but if we have to lose, let's lose in that game every year.
Yeah, exactly. And what's coming up, Bob? In terms of, is there a team a dinner or something like that at the end of the season?
Believe it or not, we had our breakup dinner 2 weeks before we ended.
Oh, okay. Because you go right on to the next season.
Well, what happens is most of our guys go play, whether it be AAU or Legion or Senior Babe Ruth, and because of the length of our season, the Babe Ruth and Legion schedules, the Legion team is going to play 18 games in 23 days.
Cowabunga, damn.
So there's just no room for, then you throw in a rain day, and then you're really in trouble.
Yeah.
So we try to get it while it's not just our team that we're honoring, it's also our JV teams and our freshman teams. And we don't want to hold those guys up from going on vacation or doing other things that get them involved in their lives.
All right. So, despite the disappointment of losing in the championship game, what's the biggest highlight of the year for you, Bob, personally, in terms of these kids? I know that you work with a lot of them individually, and I don't know, maybe a quick story of one or two of them.
Just getting back into the North Final was a remarkable accomplishment for our guys. And I think that is what I'll take out of the entire season, because if you told us on the 19th of March, hey, you're going to win 20 games, you're going to be in the North Final, you're going to win the North Final, and you're going to play for a state title, I would have really wanted to know what psychological problems you do have. So just for that, it's just one of those things where the kids just refuse to lose all year long, and they found a way to win.
Exactly.
Believe it or not, we're 16-2, and two losses might have made our whole year.
Yeah.
Only after the Haverhill tournament and lost twice.
What do you mean by that?
Well, because we were cruising through the league and not really challenged a whole heck of a lot. We went up there, and North Andover kind of stuck it to us, and then we played a really good Central Mass Division One powerhouse in Neshoba, and we played pretty well, but we got nothing out of it. We got a loss. So our guys, the light kind of went on and said, if we want to make a run at this, we've got to play a lot better. You know,
okay.
So, you know, to beat a really good Gloucester team in the North Final is absolutely the thrill of my year.
Oh, cool. Well, you know, my final thought or question is, Bob, you know, 3 years in a row, these kids, your younger kids have something to shoot for. I don't know how many kids you get coming back on varsity, but I'm sure that you, Coach Day, and everybody else in the program, I hate to say this, but you probably can't wait to get back at it next spring.
Well, you know, I hate to break it to a lot of people on the North Shore, but we had 17 varsity players this year, and we got 11 of them coming back, and 9 of them saw significant action. So I think we're going to be pretty decent again next year. But, yeah, it's nice to get the guys back together again. It's nice to see them. Like, today we picked up uniforms. It was good to see some of the guys who I've got don't have a lot of contact with. And it was a great group of guys that really, really had a good time together. And that, to me, means more than almost anything else.
Yeah.
It makes it such an enjoyment to come to the field every day.
Yeah, and you went through some tough times off and on during the season and conquered all of them.
Yeah, a little adversity never hurt anybody, and we found a way to get the job done. And to the kids' credit, they didn't let anything. They never got too high, never got too low. They just played the game. And that's to their credit.
Okay, so do you have to ice down your arm after all these games, after these 20 games coming up?
I will absolutely take the Fifth Amendment on that because what I could say might incriminate me.
Okay.
There might be an adult beverage every now and then after some of these games, so that's the only time my arm's going to get sore.
I hear you. I have the same problem, that little elbow problem. Well, Bob, listen, congratulations to you and the kids and Coach Day, obviously. We're so excited that you guys went down there and once again represented the conference. And it's the whole culture of what Danvers baseball does. It's something that we, the rest of the competition on the North Shore hates but also loves, if you know what I'm saying.
I totally understand. It's great representing a really good league. We didn't think our league was very strong this year, but then you look at it. We had five out of eight. In the quarterfinals in Division II.
Yep.
Then we had three out of four in the semis, and the two teams playing in the final. So we had a pretty good league this year.
Absolutely.
And that's to every coach that's in our program.
Absolutely. All right, Coach, we're going to check in with you from time to time during the summer, I hope. But in the meantime, again, congratulations, Bob, and have a lot of fun this summer.
Hey, thanks very much for all you guys do for our program. You guys get our name out there, and that helps our kids a lot. They really do appreciate it.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you, Bob. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Very good. Bye-bye. That's Bob Boyce, who is the assistant baseball coach at Danvers High School. And, well, you hear Tim Kearns all the time talking about the style of Danvers baseball under Roger Day and assistant coach Bob Boyce. Roger, a super brain. I'll tell you, we were talking to Phil Stacey the other day at the game and also back at the Monahan Student Athlete of the Year Award banquet luncheon last Tuesday. There were three coaches sitting within, I don't know, four or five tables of each other on the North Shore who represented more than 1,700 wins among the three coaches in baseball. And they were Frank DeFelice of Swampscott, originally, of course, and for many years, Frank Carey at North Reading, and Roger Day. And Roger Day is sort of the pup of the deans of coaches, and I think it's like four wins away from 500, so you know he's going to be adding to that total. But imagine the baseball knowledge there, and Danvers High School, just something that the rest of the league looks at and says, okay, we can beat these guys, but seldom do. And congratulations to the kids in the system at Danvers. Good students, good athletes, good kids, and it's just an amazing program. So, but also, you know, as Coach Boyce was saying, Gloucester had a great year. Lynn Classical had a terrific year, and it was a good league. Good year all the way around. Okay, so we'll come back. We'll take a break, and we'll check in with Steve Krause. He's the sports editor at the Daily Item of Lynn. Also gets on itemlive.com, of course. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. If you take a look on the website, a lot of stuff up there just today. We have Baseball Insider with Andy Carboni. Bill Newell talks with Andy once a week. The Red Sox, cough, cough, are in first. But, well, they're 2 percentage points, to be technical, 2 percentage points out of first place. But they are in a virtual tie with the Yankees. They've won one more game, and I believe they've lost one more game. So they are in a virtual tie. And Red Sox playing tonight. Saugus High school coach, former high school football coach Mike Broderick is heading to Curry College. Bill Newell has an interview with Coach Broderick. Nice guy, talks to us a lot, and going to miss him here on the North Shore and in the Northeastern Conference. But he is continuing his coaching career, and he's still teaching at Saugus High School. And Bill also has another interview he did today with Lynn English Athletic Director Dick Newton, talking with the AD about stuff at Lynn English High School, all sports stuff there. And also you'll hear a little bit about what's coming up in the fall as ADs are already working on that. And according to Bill, 14-year head coach, baseball coach Joe Caponigro will be stepping down from the coaching position after 14 years, as we mentioned. So check out that interview online right here on MSO News Sports. MSONewsSports.com is your website. MSO Radio, of course, is what you're listening to right now. So as I said, we'll take a break, come back, check in with Steve Krause. This is MSO. I'm Rick Moore. Tim Kern's off tonight. We'll be back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Okay, well, didn't make a connection with Steve. This could be a very short program tonight. We'll try again in a few minutes. Also, hope to be talking with Andrew Nicastro, but he is actually at the St. Peter's Club right now in Gloucester as they are getting ready. Andrew is going to be live streaming video for us this week. We're going to be covering a lot of events at the Fiesta. We're going to talk with Nick Kukuru about that later on. But I believe we'll be covering the Same Boat Eliminations on Wednesday, the Same Boat Races, and Greasy Pole Walks on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well from the Gloucester Fiesta. So that's coming up this week, actually. That'll be this week. And we also planning on talking with Steve here in a minute, but the Aganis All-Star Games will be taking place next week. They'll begin, the awards ceremony will begin on Sunday, June 25. That's at 10 a.m. at Manning Field. Our own Tim Kearns will be honored there, so we're looking forward to that. The 20th annual softball game will take place at noontime on Fraser Field. Again, that's on Sunday. And then at 2 p.m. on Sunday, it will be the 23rd annual baseball game. The Aganis All-Star Classics will continue next Monday, a week from today, June 26 at 6 p.m. at Classical High School. It'll be the 13th annual boys basketball game at 6 p.m., followed at 7:15 p.m. by the 13th annual girls basketball game. And then on Tuesday, June 27, back at Manning Field at 5:30, it's the girls' soccer game for the 22nd time, and also the 22nd annual boys' soccer game on Tuesday at 7 p.m. after the girls. Also at Manning Field on Wednesday, a doubleheader once again at 6:30. Check it, at 5:30, it'll be the 6th annual girls' lacrosse game, and that will be followed at 7 p.m. by the boys' lacrosse game for the 6th time. And then the granddaddy, as they say, at 7 p.m. on Thursday, June 29, will be the 56th annual Harry Aganis All-Star Football Classic. So that's all upcoming next week over in Lynn, and we're going to be covering a lot of that stuff, and we will be broadcasting the football game live, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise, and all that stuff. So that is still to come. Okay, now, why don't we see if I can dig out another phone number here and see if I can get a hold of Steve. Let me just make sure I have the right number to begin with, and then I'll see if I'll give him a call again during a break. See if I just have the right one. Sometimes I'm not all that tech savvy, as you can tell by the beginning of the program and the way we take the breaks here. Without Kearns here, it's it ain't easy, McGee. Well, let's see who this is. Let me take a break and we'll be right back. Okay, so let's see what happens here.
Call from.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
All right. We have made connections with Steve Krause, the sports editor at the Daily Item, and all the stuff that goes with it, including the online stuff. Hi, Steve.
How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing well, and I want to go back a little bit here if we could. So much to talk about. I hope you got a few minutes, because
all the time you want.
Good. It's been a while. I want to go back a week ago today and go back to the Moynihan Student Athlete of the Year program, because we'll start with the kids. So impressive that the two kids who got the awards have accomplished what they've accomplished. And as Gerard Moynihan was saying, they just add to the legacy of the winners at that banquet. And just an amazing group of kids.
What always impresses me about these, because I've been through enough of these now that I'm not going to be very surprised, if I should say, if a winner's kids start showing up at these things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
What always impresses me about these winners is how polished they are when they get mm-hmm. up there to speak.
Yep.
You know, they just conduct themselves well. You know, it just speaks to what they have done and what the discipline that they've had to use to get there. I mean, you know, you know how some kids are. You stutter, stammer. These kids, and it goes back to the first year I was on this committee. It goes back to then. These kids are polished, and they're adults by the time they come out of high school. And you know they're going to do well in college because they just have a maturity about them that not every kid has.
Well, what I like, too, and the kids, it's changed. When you and I and Bill started a long time ago, and you interviewed kids, I dreaded interviewing kids. And I would always, Bill and I have always gone, as I'm sure you have, we've gone to the coaches and asked, you know, who we can talk to. And but even with their recommendations, some of the kids just had trouble talking in polite terms about the opposition or whatever. You know what I'm saying. So you're right, they are polished.
And even now, you know, it... You go after it's the worst time to talk to a kid is after a game.
Yep.
he's all charged up and everything, and he's always like, there was a perfect example of that was on Thanksgiving last year when Classical made that incredible play.
Oh, yeah.
And the game. And he went out down on the field afterwards and tried to talk to the guy who made the play. And he didn't even, hadn't even sunk in yet that he'd made it. A couple of days afterwards, I talked to him because ESPN was going to call him. And, you know, he was a little bit better, you know, but they're not adults, you know. They're 17, 18 years old, and they haven't had much experience doing this. They're not professional talkers like we are.
That's for sure. Steve, can you hold on? I have to take a quick break. Hold on, please.
Sure.
All right, let me just do this. I got to put this spot on.
Gloria
I have to let
is still Beverly's
Hello?
Number one
test,
deli.
Test, test.
And no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
All right, we're back. Sorry for the delay. That's the trouble with Al Kearns being here. I have to let the dog out myself. So this is live radio, man. This is what it's all about. No, you're right. That was so cool watching those kids do that. I think the other thing, Steve, and maybe I'm way off base on this, but since 2001 or so, when the Patriots began winning and Bill Belichick kept preaching team, 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 you get a lot of that now from kids when you talk to the captains especially. They're always quick to put their ego in check, which I think is remarkable for a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid. And they will talk about how well their teammates help out and so on. And I give the Patriots organization some credit for infecting that publicity throughout the area.
Yeah, as long as they don't infect the with everything else about Belichick, you know, that's fine, you know.
Well, but yeah, I'm talking about the team. Like you know, when Brady speaks, he always talks about the other guys, and he always takes responsibility for a screw up. And then you listen to all these other guys, and you know, the other athletes in Boston, when they're interviewed, have pretty much done the same thing, with the possible exception of Ortiz, I think.
No, I like him.
Me too.
I also know that there are a lot of ADs that actually have programs in their schools. I mean, I know Phil Sheridan from Peabody calls it a captain's council.
Yep.
You know, where he gets these kids together and they have seminars and group sessions on what it means to be a leader. The things that you do to be a leader and the things that you don't do if you want to be a leader.
Yeah.
And I just think that there's this, it may be an outgrowth of the Patriot way, but I just think there's an awful lot more consciousness of it now than there ever was when I was a kid. I mean, I went to a school in the era of the fathead jock, you know?
Oh, yeah. Now, so we had the dog, now we got the train.
Not as much these days.
No, well, I was talking to Kyle Hodson up in Newburyport, the AD up there, before the season started and before at the beginning of school. And he was talking about exactly that. The Cape Ann League is really pushing towards educating captains to not only be representative of their teams, but also to go, like, when, let's say... The football captain's season's over, they go to a basketball game. Then to sort of be a good role model there and police the kids in the stands. In other words, it's a 180-day commitment, you know, during the school year for these guys. And that's pretty cool. That's an additional responsibility for these kids.
Yeah, it is. And it's a responsibility that, I mean, I watched some of the kids from Classical baseball this year because they had a good season. They were 19-1. And I watched those kids. I watched those seniors, how they acted. You know, they were a tight group, and they kind of radiated that kind of, you know, all-for-one mentality.
Talk a little bit about that team, Steve, because they had a remarkable year.
They did. It's just too bad they couldn't keep it up. But, you know, sometimes I think that being the top seed in that tournament can really work against you. And everybody else in that division had played a game except them. And then they finally have to play a game, and might as well have been January.
Yeah.
The day they played, you know, and I don't know. There's something about that that just doesn't seem fair. You know, I just think that if one plays, everybody plays. It's not the big advantage people think it is to have a bye.
So what do you see as a highlight for those kids? Any player or game in particular that comes to mind?
Yeah, I think the 1-0 victory over Danvers really, really was a good game. And I went to that one. I went to a couple of others, but the 1-0 game over Danvers,
mm-hmm.
where the sophomore Dave Barnard pitched a whale of a game, and another junior, A.J. Luciano, got a base hit to win the game. And, you know, I think another high for them was that a lot of kids that they probably going in weren't sure about how they were going to be ended up doing quite well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was great. I want to go back to the Moynihan thing one more time, and it's I was sitting in there, and besides, you know, we were at the media table, obviously, but looking around the room and seeing all the talent there. Phil Stacey mentioned 1,700 wins among baseball coaches Frank DeFelice, Frank Carey, and Roger Day. And then you look and you see Bill Hamer there and Red Hutt and Alex Kulovich, and it's like, to me, sitting among the legends. I get a thrill about that.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fun watching those old guys in the corner. You know, their day has come, and you know, it's somebody else's turn. You know, but they're pretty secure in what they left behind, and I think it's kind of nice that they're all friendly and together and everything. They're all good guys too. Mm-hmm. Every one of them
is
a good guy. You know, Hamer, Red Hutt, Alex Kulovich, I mean, they're all real good. Larry McIntyre.
Oh, yeah, Larry, yep.
Who probably, one time or other, probably locked horns with all of them as an official. But, you know, him too. And, you know, they're all just wonderful guys. And if you ever get them around and get them telling stories, the stories are great.
I went out to breakfast one time up in Gloucester with Coach Hamer and Bob Rowland, the former AD at Gloucester, and a couple of other guys. And the stories they have, and they're so funny when they tell them. You know, they were so intense as as athletes and coaches and ADs, but now they're a lot looser at this time.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. Switching gears now. Next week, a huge week for the Aganis athletes and the program, and I just had the schedule and now I lost it, but maybe we could run down what's happening. It all starts on Sunday.
Starts on Sunday with the awards. It's not just called an awards ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a breakfast anymore. So if you're going, have breakfast before you come.
Yep.
Kids get the uniforms and the jerseys. Scholarship winners are acknowledged. Not exactly sure yet what they're going to do with the Hall of Fame recipients. They need to do them on Sundays or at halftime of the football game. That's what they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Five more people will be inducted into the Aganis Hall of Fame at some point next.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And then at noontime is the softball game at Fraser Field on Sunday, and at 2 on Sunday is the baseball game. And then it goes Monday is at Classical, starting at 5:30 is basketball, boys and girls. Tuesday is soccer, starting at 5:30 at Manning Bowl, boys and girls. I still call it Manning Bowl. I don't care what it is, but it's not called that.
You're forgiven.
And then Wednesday at Manning is lacrosse. And then Thursday is Kurt Gowdy, to say, is the granddaddy of them all.
Yep.
The football game.
You got it. Kurt Gowdy, man. That's a name I haven't heard in a while. Oh, my goodness. What?
Do you remember what he said that? What game he was referring to?
The Rose Bowl.
He said the Rose Bowl. Right. Very good.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, he was tremendous. It's funny. We were talking on the way home from the Danvers baseball game the other night down in Brockton. We were talking about some of the announcers, and Kurt Gowdy never came to mind, but we were talking about the Channel 5 announcers in particular and who Mike Lynch knew, because you know, Mike being a local guy. But I know you remember when Lynchy started, when we started, he was a basketball referee.
He was. He was a basketball referee, and he worked for WITS, which was what WMEX, which is what WMEX turned into after it stopped being a rock and roll station.
I didn't know that.
And he worked there, and I think, I forget who was the star. Obviously, it wasn't him, but because he was way too young for that. But, you know, the guys, he paid his dues. He's, you know, he had a little bit of an advantage in that he kicked the winning field goal in the Harvard-Yale game.
Yeah.
I mean, would that we all had the kind of a head start in life, you know? but, you know, that's how Pat Summerall got started, too. He was a kicker in the NFL, so, hey, you know,
It works.
Now, it works, yeah.
What do you get now, Steve? What is the item turned to now that high school sports are over and after Agganis Week? I know your focus is going to be on Agganis Week.
Well, I'll tell you, we have the perfect storm coming up next week, because not only is it Agganis Week, but all the Little League stuff starts on Sunday too. Mm-hmm. And by the U.S. Golf Association has already descended upon Salem Country Club, and you know, they're building all the things that they need to build for the Senior Open, which begins the night of the Agganis football game and goes through that weekend. So it's going to be a very busy couple of weeks. And then you go forward, it's the All-Star stuff, and then there's Babe Ruth usually ends up going well into July. Last year, I ended up going out to North Dakota with them until almost the end of August.
Yeah,
and then, you know, it's, before you know it, football and fall sports are starting up.
Are you looking forward to going back? Oh, here's Kearns. Mr. Kearns, if I could call you back, we're on the air right now. Can I call you back?
Tell him to call me.
And you got to call Steve Krause. Oh, it's Medium. All right, I'll call you back, Medium. I'll call you back.
All right.
Okay. All right.
There's no break. There was no break.
Yeah.
And it used to be one, but there's none anymore.
All right. A couple of items, Steve, then I'll let you go. That are hot topics on the Boston station. One is obviously the trade with Ainge and the Sixers.
I'm not sure I like it, but, you know, I don't know enough about it to really get too angry. All I know is that it's my idea of the Celtics is that they have Isaiah Thomas, they have Avery Bradley, and they have maybe a couple of other guys, you know, like Crowder or somebody like that. But by and large, most of those guys are interchangeable and very expendable if somebody better comes along.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the reason they did as well as they did had as much to do with the coach as it did anything else.
Yeah.
And I think the coach is a tremendous coach. And if they can ever get him real players to coach, I think they're going to do quite well. They can do all they want, but they need a big guy who can rebound. And until they get one, they're going to be swept in four or five games by the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, you know, that's what I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, they obviously that was their Achilles heel, was rebounding on both sides. All right, and the last thing, people, at least on the radio, I haven't really seen it anywhere else, are all in a lather about the length of Major League Baseball games. And I'm gonna just preface it with saying, when I go to Fenway, I have a certain time that I have to leave whether the game is over or not. So I don't care if the game lasts 4 hours or if it lasts 2.5 or it lasts 6. I got to get out of there by 11 p.m. type thing. So, you know, I really don't care how long these games are. And if it's on television, if it's boring, I'll swap it. So what's your thoughts on a pitch clock or the length of the time of a Major League Baseball game?
I think that, to be realistic, you know, with what you're competing with, I think that they have to do something. I don't think they have to be as draconian as some people think they have to be. But I'll tell you one thing that has to happen, and it's not going to happen, because it involves TV. I was watching the game the other night, which was a great game, the Sunday night Houston game. Great game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, drama and beautiful throw by Benintendi and everything like that. It was almost close to 3 minutes between innings. Now, I remember when I started this gig, when games were on the radio only and not on television, it was about a minute.
Yep.
Between innings. All right? So now you take that 2 minutes of a nationally televised game and you multiply it by 18 because they had to play nine full because Houston was the home team. So what's 2 times 18? That's 36 minutes.
There you go. Yep.
36 minutes that they could shave if they weren't so beholden to television. And then television will turn around and tell them, you got to do something to make the game shorter.
Hey, you're right.
That's pretzel logic, as the
Ely
Band once said.
All right, Steve. Gary Larrabee is checking in finally, so we got to talk golf. And I will see you, if not Sunday, I'll see you soon.
Give Mr. Larrabee my regards.
You bet I will. Steve, thanks for taking the time tonight. I appreciate it.
Hey.
All right, talk to you later. That is Steve Krause, who is the sports editor at the Daily Item. We'll take a break, come back with Gary Larrabee, give us an update on what's going on with the U.S. Senior Open. So stay with us.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, it's been way too long since we checked in with Gary Larrabee, sports writer, sports historian, and media liaison for the U.S. Senior Golf Open. And, Gary, have the jets started landing?
I don't think they've landed yet. They're all landing out in Madison, Wisconsin this week for the last regularly scheduled tournament, of course, before our U.S. Senior Open next week at Salem. So they're in Madison, Wisconsin this weekend at the Family Insurance Classic, and most of them anyways. And the jets will be landing, I would think, starting Sunday night.
All right.
At Beverly Airport.
I can't wait, man. That's so cool. Now, what have we missed? We haven't had a show in almost a month. And what's the status now? Where are we in terms of your prep at the U.S. Senior Open?
Well, I think everything is falling into place nicely, Rick. We still have some tickets available, group, corporate, individual. There's still a handful of volunteer opportunities. Just go to the U.S. Senior Open website, 2017USSeniorOpen.com, and catch up on any of that stuff. But most importantly, at least noteworthy from this week's tournament out in Milwaukee, or Madison, is the fact that Bernard Langer and Tom Lehman, two of the top players who will be coming here next week, are not playing this week. Most of the players would be playing this week to tune up for Salem because they didn't. They've only played once in the last 3 weeks. But most importantly, the weather's broken good. The golf course is in phenomenal shape. All the tents are up. All the grandstands are up. They've begun roping the golf course for gallery control, and all in all, Rick, we're expecting a fabulous week next week, led by, of course, the top names, Nick Faldo, John Daly, Bernard Langer, Lehman, as I mentioned, and, of course, Fred Couples, Colin Montgomery, the whole list. Virtually every player over 50 who you'd expect to be there will be there, and will be there as well, and it's, the excitement is certainly reaching maybe not quite a fever pitch yet, but we know it's close, and we're looking forward to next week very, very much.
I'm not a golfer, Gary, and I did go to the Moynihan student. Oh, and by the way, Steve Krause says to say hello to the esteemed Mr. Larrabee. But we were at the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete Program, which had their luncheon at the country club, Salem Country Club. And I can only see, a certain a bit of landscape. Can you describe the course to me and on how it plays as compared with, other courses? Or just explain it to me.
Well, it's a great traditional golf course, built back in the golden age of American golf course architecture back in the, the first 25, 30 years of the 20th century, because we were blessed to have Donald Ross put together our golf course. But it'll be completely different from what you saw on TV the past 4 days with the U.S. Open out in Erin Hills, Wisconsin, where there's virtually no trees out there. They virtually had just a flat landscape with very wide fairways, lots of fescue. You will not find much fescue at Salem, but Salem is full of beautiful trees, and it'll be a much tighter golf course than you saw on TV. The greens won't be as large, but they are large, and it'll be a real sharp-making golf course. This golf course they played over the weekend was for bombers, and of course a bomber won in Brooks Koepka at 16 under par. One thing I think we might be aware of, Rick, we should keep in mind, 16 under par is an extraordinary score for a U.S. Open. And of course, as they pointed out on TV yesterday, that's the lowest score in relation to par. I think that ties Brooks with Rory McIlroy. He shot 16 under par, I believe, when he won a congressional a few years ago. You're going to see scores much more closer to par at Salem. They'll be trying to shoot par. They're not going to be trying to shoot 4, 5, 6 under a round. Although the one thing that might be in their favor, there is some spotty rain forecast for the rest of the week, into the weekend. This time of the year you get showers anytime. But I think the golf course will play relatively soft. It won't play fast and firm like we would like it to be and like the USGA would like it to be. But I guarantee you the USGA doesn't know when I see the U.S. Senior Open have a winning score of 16 under par like there was yesterday at Erin Hills, which may be a main reason why. I don't know if they'll be back to Erin Hills in any time soon, probably maybe in 15, 20 years, because they're going back to all traditional courses next year, starting for about 10 years running. That includes the Country Club in Brookline in 2022.
Wow. Yeah, that was a weird-looking course. The lack of trees is so obvious. Gary, is there any significance at all to, I think it's what, the last 7 majors now have been won by first-timers?
Very good statistic, and it's a very good observation, Rick. No, there's just so many great players out there. As Tim and I have talked about over the years, there are more and more good players out there. Look at those players at the top of the leaderboard. Tommy Fleetwood. Of course, his nickname is what, Rick? You know what his nickname is.
Mick?
Mac,
okay.
Fleetwood Mac, right?
Fleetwood Mac. Well, Mick Fleetwood was the founder, so I was going with
That's
Mick.
That's right, so maybe it is Mick. Anyways.
No, Mac makes sense.
Anyways, a great player in Matsuyama from Japan finished second. Brian Harman, he's won one tournament. He finished tied for second. But Tommy Fleetwood, I never heard of him until this weekend. John DeSchefele, a lot of no names, really, new names. And I think that's going to be we thought Dustin Johnson was going to be the big new thing. But now it's Brooks Koepka, and whatever happened to Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, rookie, Ricky Fowler was up there most of the week before he fell on his face yesterday. And it's, as you pointed out, it's all the last 7 majors have all been won by newcomers, or first-time major winners, I should say. And don't be surprised if there are some more names, new names popping up at the Open Championship next month over at Royal Birkdale, or in August when the PGA Championship is held. I forget where it's being held, but it's going to be held, Rick, in August, I assure you.
I'm sure it will be, and I know that you got a lot on your mind, Gary, so all those stats and names I appreciate. Anything else you want to mention, Gary, this week?
We should make note that the names are escaping me right now. Stephen Delisio and Jack Whalen from the North Shore both tried to qualify for the U.S. Open a couple weeks ago. One in Florida, that was Whalen in Florida, and Delisio in New Jersey, and neither one made it, but they both had had their moments. Whalen shot, I think, 70 the second round, Delicio shot 67 at his site, so they both have stuff to feed on. Frank Deli was the best local finisher at the Mass Open last week at Shima Knesset down the Cape in Falmouth. I think he finished tied for six. No, I forgot. Josh Sala, as you may know, Rick, he finished tied for second.
Mm-hmm.
Coming home just for a few weeks from the Asian and Filipino tours, he's now back over there. Came home for a few weeks and timed it nicely with the Mass Open, and had a great week, 3 days. Made $6,500 if the IRS is listening. And
okay.
It was a great showing for Josh, but he went right back over to continue his quest to hopefully make more progress in his quest to become a member of the PGA Tour someday.
All right. And column coming up in the paper this week in the Salem News?
Well, we're going to have some predictions for the U.S. Senior Open by some prominent people who should know,
mm-hmm.
as well as a couple people who shouldn't know and probably don't know, but we're going to have four sets of prognostications and to lead off the column and to get us into the really big mood for what starts up next Monday with three practice rounds and then the main event, 72 holes starting next Thursday at Salem Country.
Very excited. Gary, thanks for talking with us tonight. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you hopefully next week.
We will talk to you next Monday. Thanks, Rick.
Awesome. Thanks, Gary. Take care.
Well, bye.
Bye-bye. Gary Larrabee, sports historian and media liaison for the 2017 U.S. Senior Open taking place at Salem Country Club next week. All righty then. One more break. We're going to bring back Nick Kukru. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Like that music. I don't know what it is. I got to find out. Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times sports editor, is with us now. And, well, Nick, the high school sports season is over. You're doing your all-stars and your all-everythings, and that's fun. But now we go to the water events, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Fiesta coming up this week, and then, we've got a whole bunch of water sports over the next couple months, which is interesting. You don't get to cover stuff like that anyplace else.
Well, that's right. That's right. And as someone was saying, you don't get to see grown men go out on a 45-foot greased telephone pole to try to catch
a fly.
So what are the, I don't know, Nick, tell me a little bit about what's going on with the Fiesta sports events this year that'll take place in Gloucester starting, on Wednesday?
Yeah, well, they actually started yesterday. They had the women's same boat elimination, so that set up a rematch from last year. The same three crews, Backlash, Rogue, and Audacious, they've all won before, so that should be a good race set up. And then, Wednesday we got the men's elimination same boat races. So that they'll narrow that down to three crews, and they'll advance to Saturday. And then the top two crews from Saturday will race Blasphemous champs on Sunday. And you got the 5K, the Fiesta 5K on Thursday night. And Friday night is the first greasy pole in the women's same boat final. Saturday is the second greasy pole, and then Sunday you got the third greasy pole in the men's same boat final. So nice packed week of sports.
Yeah, it is. And do you have an estimate, Nick, on how many people, how many athletes in the city participate? Because I was just thinking about that. You know, a lot of crews who try out or walkers or whatever don't even get to get into the boat sometimes because they get eliminated so early. How many people overall participate, do you think?
Yeah, I'd say it's got to be close to it. Over 200, maybe close to 250. I mean, you think we got the six men same boat crews. That's 60 rowers and a coach and a scuttler for each crew, and then I think there was seven women's crews.
Wow.
And then you got, you know, your greasy poles are about filled with about 40-ish walkers each day, so that's about 120, 130 right there on top of those, so maybe even closer to 300 if you start diving into the juniors, and then, you know, the Fiesta 5K gets about 700-800 runners each year as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in my lifetime, the Fiesta has evolved. It still has a religious core.
Better or worse.
They still do the novena, prior to the Fiesta. And at one time, I know going back, obviously when it began and for decades, it was in celebration of St. Peter for the fishing industry, for fishermen who worked so hard, and they could come in and celebrate with their families and have a great time. But it has evolved. It is still that, but it's so much more now. It's sort of a community event, whereas before it was pretty much targeted for the fishing families, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah. Now, I mean, it's a huge community event. I mean, it's good. I mean, you know, see some people, you know, everyone that doesn't live in Gloucester anymore that grew up here, a lot of people seem to come back to town, you know, this week. And so, you know, it's nice to see. I always like, you know, I get together with my Italian side of the family and, you know, have a huge feast on Sunday, which is always great.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, it's true. It's just a great time of year.
Yeah, and you got to get Ambi sausages too, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's a must. We're in line, too.
Absolutely. All right, Nick, anything else you want to mention about Fiesta? There's so much to talk about and so little time, but anything come to mind? Either that or just wrapping up the high school sports season. It was a great year. We're not going to talk about the bad stuff, but a great year for high school teams in the springtime in the tournament on Cape Ann.
Yeah, big time. I think unprecedented. I can't remember. I was trying to look back since I've been working at the Gloucester Times, which this is my 11th spring season. I don't think we've never had five semifinalists before like we did this season. Two finalists as well. I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm usually, I had this last week, a couple stories that I had been holding on to for a month, thinking, you know, after the first tournament weekend, I'm usually down to one or two teams, and I'm still at seven left after the first weekend, which was great.
And, right.
You know, a couple stories got on the paper a little later than they normally win, but that's all right. I'll take that trade off Washington, you know, go deep into the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to, when we have more time, Nick, we're going to maybe highlight one or two teams or performances that stand out that you mentioned in the paper. But in the meantime, I expect this week will be mostly Fiesta coverage.
Mostly, yes. I have a little preview column tomorrow, and this time we're also shooting the local Little League World Series, so that'll be in Wednesday's paper, and then you know, Thursday to Monday, it's going to be all Fiesta.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. All Fiesta, yeah. All the time. Well, I'll see you down there, Nick, and maybe we can get you for some expert commentary. We're going to be upstairs in that balcony during the events, so maybe we can get you to come upstairs, you know, while the events are happening before you have to talk to people.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'll definitely be around.
All right, great. All right, then we'll see you then. Okay, Nick Bonafiesta, and thank you.
Thanks. You too.
Talk to you later. All right, that is Nick Kukru, who is the Gloucester Times sports editor, and we filled in an hour without Tim, and I missed him. I miss him. Got to get him back here. So I think it's going to take care of it. We do have a lot of sporting events coming up via the Fiesta this week, live. We will be broadcasting on Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We will have live streaming video along with our audio, and our entire sports team should be there. Marty won't be there. Marty won't be available, but Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, Andrew Nicastro, Alex Sanfilippo, and I will be there, and we're gonna bring you a lot of the fun events, and they're extreme physical events, but they're certainly fun to watch. I don't know if they're fun to participate. I guess they're fun when you win, right? So that'll do it from here for today. Let me see if there's anything else that we have to clean up. I don't think so. I want to thank our guest today. Thank you to Bob Boyce, assistant baseball coach at Danvers High School. Thanks to the sports editor of the Daily Atom of Lynn, Steve Krause. Also to sports historian Gary Larrabee for updating us on the U.S. Senior Open. And thanks to Nick Kukru for dropping by with a preview of Fiesta events as well. That'll do it for this week. Oh, what am I saying? Congratulations to Ben Goodhue. Coach had a brand new baby girl welcomed into the family, I think it was yesterday. So congratulations to the Cuckaroos and their new baby girl. All is looking good from there, and there's a new sports fan on the North Shore named Goodhue, so congratulations. For Bill Newell, Bill Proposky, Tim Kearns, and the gang, I'm Rick Moore. Take care.